Hot. 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 Bring the heat.
And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to Speak Up Talk Radio. This program gets behind the environmental, social, political, educational, spiritual, and health decisions that affect our lives and futures, yet are not always determined by us, but rather by politics, business, and other self-interest groups. Investigative in nature, we go where mainstream stops. As a leader in the healthcare and patient safety world, I now expose current and relevant harms and charms that either endanger or improve our health, our freedom, our privacy, and our sanity. Most of us simply don't have time to pay attention to decisions that are being made on our behalf, decisions made by people who may have less than altruistic motives. And often we don't speak up because we are not aware. Well, this program changes that by being the voice for informed choice. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. So happy that we're together once again. And as usual, I have lots to share today. So let's get started, shall we?
I'm Jerry the Gerb with a Speak Up and Stay Alive healthcare and hospital safety snippet just for you. Here's our expert, Pat Rulo.
Do you really have the flu? Coughing, aching, feverish, sore throat? Oh no, it's the flu. Right? So if you have symptoms that sound like the flu and it's the right season, then you must have the flu. So you go to your doctor, and yep, a quick look and off you go with a nice prescription for an antibiotic. Oh heck, throw in some Tamiflu too. Has this happened to you? Well, it happened to me a few years ago when I was having some amazingly horrible throat symptoms that ultimately ended out to be a case of acid reflux. But meantime, a visit to my doctor sent me on my merry way with a prescription for Cipro, an antibiotic in the fluoroquinolone family that is used to treat bacterial infections. Cipro, and all other antibiotics for that matter, only treat bacterial infections, not viral infections, such as the common cold. So, how did my doctor know that I had a bacterial infection? He didn't. It was flu season. He was swamped with sick people in his office, and I exhibited some flu-type symptoms. Flu, next, flu, next, flu, next. So home I went, giving the side effect insert a quick look. Who could read that multi-folded page anyway? Tiny writing, words I didn't understand? Plus, I was sick. I didn't feel well, and reading fine script was not on my radar that day. Too bad I didn't, because Cipro can be quite ototoxic, which means toxic to the ear. Many healthcare professionals know little or nothing about ototoxic drugs. Therefore, it's up to you to do all you can to protect your ears from the ravages of these drugs, and many drugs other than Cipro can cause damage to your ears. This can be especially important to those who already have some level of hearing loss. Cipro can cause severe hearing loss, loud tinnitus, or is it tinnitus? Better look that one up. Dizziness and ear pain. I know that now, after 3 solid years of ear ringing. Only after the fact did I know that Cipro also carries what is called a black box warning. The Food and Drug Administration imposed the government's most urgent safety warning on Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox, and many other fluoroquinolone antibiotics. The FDA requires a prominent black box warning, and in this case, the black box warning warns of an increased risk of tendinitis and tendon rupture. Well, 3 days into taking Cipro, my right ear began to ring, buzz, hiss, squeal, to the point that I called the doctor to complain of this, and he said, no, the Cipro shouldn't do that. Well, he was right. It shouldn't, but it did, and it does. Interesting way to phrase that. So his comment couldn't be taken as a truth. He didn't say Cipro doesn't do that, but rather shouldn't. So he said discontinue that and prescribed Zithromax, the ever-popular Z-Pak. Well, according to an article by Dr. Rodney Rode from Texas State University, he writes, why won't physicians order laboratory tests to confirm, or at the very least, increase the odds that they are treating the right infection with the correct medication via the use of a screening test? Of course, there are numerous reasons to not order a test. In my scenario, the physician is absolutely correct that we were in the midst of flu season. However, symptoms from allergens, cold viruses, and other microbes can easily be mistaken for a flu. In fact, Dr. Rhodes says even Ebola can mimic flu early in the infection. The use of antibiotics without a confirmed diagnosis of a bacterial infection is one of the leading pillars in the deadly increase of antibiotic-resistant infections, including healthcare-associated infections like MRSA, methicillin, that's the antibiotic, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA. We talked about that on the show before. And just by the way, C. diff, Clostridium difficile-associated diarrhea, is a serious adverse effect of Cipro and other fluoroquinolones. Actually, all antibiotics are culprits to a certain extent. Well, now Dr. Rode further states, and this is huge, physicians should always order an ID, an antibiotic susceptibility test, when confirming a bacterial infection. Of course, in a life and death situation, one may have to prescribe an antibiotic without the use of a laboratory confirmation, but it should only be in those critical situations. Now, he is coming right out and saying what we've been saying for years on this program. If our healthcare providers are not going to provide healthcare in a mindful and responsible manner, then we, the patient, should take what we know to be true, to be educated and empowered to ask for a laboratory-confirmed diagnosis instead of simply settling for what the doctor gives us. And if you're afraid to question your doctor, if you're too scared to ask the question, how do you know it's a bacterial infection? To which the answer can never be 100% certain. I mean, a doctor is trained, but cannot tell by looking with 100% positivity that you have a bacterial infection versus a virus. They cannot tell that without a laboratory confirmed diagnosis. If you cannot ask, then bring someone with you. Or if you're going alone, write it on a piece of paper ahead of time and hand it to your doctor that says, I'd like to know for sure. Please order a lab test before I take this drug. As I discussed about the fluoroquinolone family of antibiotics, and I'm sure today's guest will emphasize, these antibiotics should be used only when the patient faces a potential fatal outcome and only after the use of other antibiotics have been ruled out. This is not due to the probability of risk, but rather the severity. Take all antibiotics with great care. The prefix anti means against. Bios comes from a Greek word that means life. So an antibiotic is against life. And when you take them, they do not discriminate in destroying all in their path, the bad guys and the good guys, leaving you with a deafening host of potential life-changing effects. Use them when needed, and with a confirmed laboratory-tested diagnosis. So do you really have the flu? Next time, be sure you know the answer before you take something that's against life.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I'd love you to be a part of my world. It's a world filled with amazing people, interesting and engaging ideas, all related to the preservation of this great planet of ours. We interview people from all over the world about topics that I know will interest you, and we educate people in fun, informative ways, and inspire them to take small steps so that together we can make a big impact. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
Hi, I'm Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we talk about aging in a different way. We hear from professionals in the field and people like you, unsung heroes caring for family members, friends, and relatives amid the demands of your own life. Join me each week as we laugh, cry, and share. And know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
This is Susan Marie from the Dougie Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Dougie Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggiediva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
You're listening to Speak Up Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, always keeping a sharp eye out for a topic and guest that tend to get bypassed by mainstream media. And so it is with today's guest. She is Lisa Bloomquist, a patient advocate who was injured by the antibiotic called Cipro in 2011. She runs the fluoroquinolone toxicity syndrome advocacy site called floxyhope.com, and manages the fluoroquinolone wall of pain. And these are websites to give hope for healing to those adversely affected by fluoroquinolone antibiotics such as Cipro, Levaquin, Avalox, and Floxin. And Lisa has vowed to continue to scream about the dangers of fluoroquinolone antibiotics until those in the medical profession start paying attention to their Hippocratic Oath, establish proper informed consent for administration of these drugs, and stop giving them to children. She is a Colorado native who enjoys the mountains, Pilates, and her cat. And we have a lot in common, both damaged by Cipro, love the mountains, and our cats. So a very welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
Well, it's our pleasure, our pleasure. Now, before we get into your story, explain so that our listening audience understands, what is the name fluoroquinolone? What is that?
Fluoroquinolones are a class of antibiotics, and they are very powerful, broad-spectrum antibiotics. The most popular ones in America are Cipro. The generic name for Cipro is ciprofloxacin, Levaquin, which is levofloxacin, Avalox, which is moxifloxacin, and Floxin, which is ofloxacin. And you'll notice that all of those generic names have the word flox in them, F-L-O-X. And so people who have been hurt by fluoroquinolone antibiotics started to call themselves floxy. So if you ever hear the term floxy or flox, it comes from that root word in the antibiotic names, in the generic names. They are used for urinary tract infections, sinus infections, sometimes pneumonia, anthrax, syphilis. It's appropriate for them to be used for incredibly difficult to treat infections. When no other sort of antibiotic will help you, it's appropriate to use these drugs. They disrupt the DNA and RNA replication cycle for bacterial DNA. And they also disrupt the DNA and RNA replication cycle for mitochondria within human cells. So disrupting the DNA and RNA replication cycle for our bacteria is also it's a very dangerous thing to do. And so these drugs really should be preserved for life or death situations, and they should only be used in those situations like anthrax. Except honestly, for anthrax, doxycycline works as well. But unfortunately, rather than preserving these drugs for very serious and life-threatening infections, they're really being given out like candy. Around 25 million prescriptions a year for these drugs, which means that they are massively overused. The side effects from these drugs, if you look at any of the warning labels, they're pages and pages long. The Cipro warning label is about 43 pages long, with side effects that are, well, goodness, name anything just about, and you'll see it as a side effect, which honestly kind of makes people go a little bit numb when they see that absolutely everything can go wrong, except truly everything can go wrong in your body if you experience fluoroquinolone toxicity. There is a black box warning on all of the fluoroquinolones, and the black box warning is the most severe warning the FDA puts on drugs. So it's the heaviest warning before they take the drugs off of the market. It's a very serious warning. What they don't tell you is that every single tendon in your body can be weakened. You can rupture a tendon while getting out of bed, not only while you're on these drugs, but after you've taken these drugs. And I think that that's what most people don't realize, is that the tendons can be permanently damaged. So you can have tendonitis, or you could rupture an Achilles months after you take these drugs as a side effect of these drugs. The other side effects include peripheral neuropathy. An increased warning was just added to the warning label for permanent peripheral neuropathy, burning, stabbing, aching feelings, muscle twitches, kind of vibrating in your muscles, cracking joints, all sorts of musculoskeletal issues. Eye floaters, hot and cold sensations, feeling numb, feeling like there's electric shocks shooting up and down your spine, a lot of central nervous system issues, people, loss of memory, loss of reading comprehension, loss of mental capacity and mental capability. There have even been people who have seen lesions on their brains in brain scans after experiencing fluoroquinolone toxicity. Before I kind of just overwhelm the audience completely with listing any more symptoms, it's just really summed up as multi-symptom chronic disease mm-hmm. is what these antibiotics can cause. And that's an awfully heavy price to pay for treating a suspected sinus infection.
So when you said that they eradicate the bacteria by interfering with DNA replication, so they kind of work like a chemotherapy drug where they disrupt the DNA and destroy the cells. And all you have to do is type fluoroquinolone antibiotic in a search engine and the entire page is filled with negative press. So you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, and absolutely. And sorry for interrupting, Pat, but you touched on something that I really want to drive home to the audience, that they're a chemotherapy drug. And truly, these drugs are being used to treat cancers. But just be aware that when you're taking this drug for a urinary tract infection, it is a chemotherapy drug. And it's not appropriate to be taking chemotherapy drugs or to be prescribing chemotherapy drugs for urinary tract infections. Mm-hmm. It's just not appropriate. The consequences of these drugs are very much along the same lines as how chemotherapy drugs work. So I think kind of when conceptualizing these problems with these drugs, it's very important to think of them as chemo drugs instead of thinking of them as simple antibiotics, because they are much more similar in their effects and even their mechanism of action to chemo drugs than they are to penicillin.
Wow. So now if you would, though, Lisa, tell us about the event that triggered your reaction to Cipro and then consequently your patient advocacy.
So back in 2011, when I was 32 years old, and let me just tell you real quick about how active I was. I was going to the gym 5 to 7 days a week. I was testing out CrossFit gyms. I had hiked entire 500-mile Colorado Trail right before in the summer of 2010. I was incredibly active and athletic. But anyhow, I had a urinary tract infection, and I took Cipro. About a few days after I took the Cipro, I took it for 3 days. And actually, I'm sorry, let me rewind a little bit as well and say that I had taken Cipro in 2009 with really no ill effects. Like, looking back on things now, I noticed I can realize that I had kind of a twitchy eyelid and some weird GI issues that kind of waxed and waned, but really nothing horrible happened to me in 2009. It was the second time that I took Cipro in 2011 that really the bomb went off in my body. But basically what happened is I took the full course, and then a few days later I started to get floaters in my eyes, like big black floaters would just go into my vision. So I went into the doctor, and they looked at my eyes, and they said, no, well, everything looks okay. So I continued on with my life for a few more days. And then I started to get menstrual cramps. I was getting my period, and I started to take Advil and NSAID. And then after, I don't know, maybe a day of taking Advil and also my hormones going wild, everything went wrong in my body. Suddenly, I couldn't walk anymore. My hands and feet welled up, and they were incredibly painful to use. Suddenly, my feet hurt so incredibly bad, I could barely move. I had hives all over my body, and especially in my joints, like big, red, angry welts. And I'm actually somewhat thankful for those big angry welts, because when I went into the doctor, they couldn't say, well, you know, nothing is wrong with you. Instead, they said, I don't know what's wrong with you, which is true. They didn't really know what was wrong with me. I went into the doctor going, what in the world is going on? Why can't I walk? Why can't I move? Why do my hands hurt? Why do my feet hurt? And why do I have these hives all over my body? And they ran all sorts of blood tests and couldn't give me an answer. They could tell me that nothing was coming up on the blood test. All of my blood work, the basic blood work, came back normal. And they said, as far as we can tell, you're fine. I said, well, I'm not fine. There's nothing fine about me. And I ended up seeking some alternative treatments through acupuncture and supplements and things kind of along those lines. After that, things continued to get worse. My hives and my mobility got worse and worse for a little while, probably a couple of months. After a couple of months, I lost a lot of my memory. I lost my reading comprehension. I lost my concentration. And really, the mental symptoms were some of the scariest for me. I very much lost my sense of self. I lost my motivation. I lost my caring about things. I really felt like I had difficulty connecting with people. And frankly, I was terrified. I had a huge amount of anxiety, and it slowly started to get better. But I did not get back to what I would consider to be about 95% better for 18 months.
Wow.
So it really took away 18 months of my physical and mental life.
Wow. This is quite a story and quite a comeback story. And like so many of the guests on our program that are affected by something and then decide to speak up against it and about it and for it. And so I'm really proud that you've been able to do that. So I was thrilled when I saw that you have a website called floxypets.com. So if these antibiotics are bad for us, the same for our pets, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it breaks my heart when I think of cats and dogs and horses and any sort of pets going through fluoroquinolone toxicity, because they have absolutely no idea what hit them. To do this to an animal or a child that really can't understand on any reasonable level what happened to them, it breaks my heart.
Yes. As it should. These little pets and little people have no choice and no voice, so it's up to us to make wise and informed decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of mentioning children, these drugs are generally thought of as being contraindicated in the pediatric population. And then also something to be very careful of is topical applications.
Okay.
So ear and eye drops are a huge way that children get exposed to fluoroquinolone. So many babies have ear infections. The number of kids who are given Cipro ear drops,
Okay, that's a whole other topic here, huh?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Oh, my.
And these kids end up having health problems, and the parents don't put together the pieces because the doctors aren't putting together the pieces, and no one is figuring out why these kids are sick. It's really horrible.
Yes, it is, and there's obviously so much more that we need to know about this.
Just know that there is a community out there, and that there are people who get through it, and there are people who are advocating, and there is advice and there is help, and you know, please hang in there. And I know it's easier said than done, but just kind of hang in there.
So we want people to pay attention to this. They can get more information at your website called floxyhope.com. Lisa, what a pleasure to have met you, and I'm so proud for what you do and what you're doing to help others with this very little discussed subject. And so hopefully you and I can continue this conversation and get more awareness out there. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Pat. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's our pleasure. And folks, just to summarize, when an antibiotic is prescribed, please, it's wise to ask what the drug is, whether it's necessary, what the side effects are, what should you be looking out for, whether they are effective alternatives, and when to expect the diagnosed condition to resolve, and what to do and who to call if something unexpected happens or if recovery seems delayed. And keep this conversation in mind today. And in the meantime, study up and visit the website floxyhope.com. Again, Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, I do believe this is the fastest show in radio. Always goes by so quickly, and I always have so much to share with you. And anyway, I hope that you do find some time or make some time this week to head over to our websites, speakuptalkradio.com and speakupandstayalive.com. So much information on both of those sites for you. Well, until next week, I hope that you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Hi, I'm Pat Rulo, author, speaker, and radio host of Speak Up Talk Radio. I'm local and vocal when it comes to healthcare safety. If you need a life-changing topic and speaker for your next event, call me, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com. Patient safety is your right, so don't go wrong. Let me share what I know with your group, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.